You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
Have you ever thought about setting up your own recording studio and producing your own music as a blind or partially sighted person? Well, now here on RNIB Connect Radio, we're going to hear from Sean Haywood, a blind musician and ballroom dancer who set up a studio with his friend Joe in Leeds back in the early 2000s. And now, after taking a bit of time out of music making, is back making music again and has gone down the route of using an Apple Mac computer with Pro Tools, one of the many digital audio workstations that are around for music production. Hello, Sean, and great to have you back with me here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Great to be here, Toby.
As I mentioned in my introduction, Sean, you set up that basement studio in Leeds in the early 2000s with your friend Joe. And that was very much an analogue studio, but recording onto a PC computer using a digital audio workstation bit of software called Sonar, which I think might still be around. So, Sean, take me through that setup of your studio that you had back in Leeds with Joe.
Right, well, we set that up in 2000, and we'd sort of, in the late 90s, I was working at the Ford studio in Oswald Street. I was the in-house engineer producer there, great studio, working on a massive FAMIC console and stuff like that. And I'd raised enough money to start something. So I said, Joe, do you fancy it? Let's tank out a basement and do it. So he was up for it. And we'd both been looking at Cakewalk, as it was at the time. And then it became Sonar. So the route we went down was using Sonar as basically the glorified tape machine. And we had a lot of outboard gear in the studios. We had a 32-channel 8 group Soundcraft desk, loads of outboard gear, compressors, reverb units, etc. And then a little live room with some Neumann mics and drum kit and bits and pieces. But everything went into Sonar because it worked with Jaws. And we had that studio for 8 years. Crazy times, crazy, hard working. Sometimes I'd do the day shift, even doing the night shift and so on. And yeah, we did a lot of work on that machine. But it was the early days. We were quite pioneering at the time. And machines would fall over and we had to keep getting them going again. With the, you know, the use of Jaws, because it was heavy on the processor with Sonar. And when you're running many tracks in there. And it was the early days of plugins, so we used to have to commit them, which creatively was good. But yeah, it was a great time, great systems of its time. But we finished in 2008. All great things must come to an end. And when I went off, I just basically had a bit of a, well, they call it the burn, you know, a breakdown with music. And I just couldn't even listen to music, didn't want to know. I'd really burnt out. And yeah, I heard that Sonar didn't work anymore with Jaws. So that was that, as it had changed. So I assumed that that was it for me.
And you've recently obviously started to get back into music making and obviously starting to use an Apple Mac computer with Pro Tools on it, which must have been a bit of a steep learning curve. How did you find getting used to working on a Mac as well as working with Pro Tools?
Oh, God, it's, yeah, massive undertaking for me, because, as I say, we finished in 2008 and I didn't do any music for around 10 years. And then I started this looping project because I didn't think I could use Sonar. So I thought, I just got a looper. Taught myself to beatbox, was, you know, playing many instruments and stuff like that and doing that project. But because I've been writing all these songs, friends and family kept saying, Sean, we really want to hear your stuff, you know, produced out properly like you used to. And yeah, eventually I got it together and went down the Mac route. So coming from Jaws and Windows and going to that was so different, because as an iPhone user, you're thinking, oh, voiceover, here we go, it's going to be the same, and it really isn't. But like many things, Toby, it's just two step forward, one's back, and just keep going, and they're patterns. And as I said, back in the day, me and Joe were very much pioneers, and since then, other people have pioneered all of this. And what's come with the new hardware that you can plug in to the software, which is accessible now, there's some amazing kit about. It all will become much easier again.
And I suppose getting to grips with a new piece of software can always take a bit of time. And within Pro Tools, you have two sort of main windows that you interact with, the edit and the mix window. And in the edit window, you have the waveforms going from left to right across the screen with each track on top of each other. While in the mix window, you've got the sort of channels of each track going from left to right, but vertically, which I suppose is very much as if you were looking down on a physical, I suppose, mixing console or desk. And I wondered whether, you know, sort of having used mixing desks in the past, whether that helped you sort of get, around the layout of Pro Tools.
Yes, and that's the difference when we're working in Sonar. In the past, we just arrow around with Windows. You didn't have to hold down the two keys, the VO keys. So all that stuff's different. But that's what I kind of got my head around and went, you know, thank God that I've got this massive history of working in studios for years. Because if you didn't understand inputs, outputs, signal flow, all that sort of stuff, it is an even bigger learning curve. So yeah, I have applied that. And it's like looking down on it kind of, as you say, going down. At first, I was just arrowing left and right. I was like, oh, it's on its side. I did not realize that you can go up and down as well. You can go either way. So yeah, I definitely stay in the mix window and do everything there, really.
And take me through your sort of Pro Tools home studio setup. What type of kit have you got there? What sort of instruments and things?
Right. I've really gone for it, man. I've really gone for it. I bought a new electric drum kit, a Roland DMK07 or something like that, I think it is. Looks really cool. I bought myself a new bass. I've got my Telecaster. I've got my Yamaha piano. So that's all down the one side of the room. And then I've just had a guy come in and he's just put a 3 meter long worktop, like kitchen worktop, along the end of the room. And on there now I've got a Native Instruments Complete Control USB keyboard, which again is fully accessible. I've got the Mac and I've got a thing called a SoftTube Console One. This piece of kit is absolutely awesome. You've got on it like low and high cut filters. You've got a gate, you've got EQs, and you've got compressors. And this is all tactile. And also, I went with the Focusrite Scarlett. It's the new version, the 414. And that is now fully accessible. So when you touch the buttons on the front, the Phantom Power, they've got like air settings, instrument settings. You can plug two mics in it. You can plug your guitar or your bass direct into it. When you touch the buttons, VoiceOver kicks in and starts talking to you. It's honestly, it's a revelation what's been going on.
Well, that sounds fantastic to hear all that, because I suspect many people might think, you know, it's quite daunting setting up your own studio and getting used to different bits of kit and finding out, you know, sort of which bits are accessible, which bits aren't and everything else. And I suppose you've only probably been working in your Pro Tools Mac studio for maybe a month or so. Do you have any wise words or advice you might give to another blind or partially sighted musician who might be thinking of setting up their own studio?
Just stick at it. If you want to do it, remember that other people are doing it and so can you. So the access is there. And there's a great online resource from Berkeley with loads of audio and written up stuff of how to work in Pro Tools. So even if you don't have the money to get the kit yet or you're unsure to get the kit, maybe try and find a way of getting the Pro Tools access. Maybe you could give the full name for that, Toby, out, and people could go to that link and listen to the files and just, you know, get it in your head. What's going on? Try and see it in your head. What's going on? Are we arrowing up, arrowing down? And yeah, do some voiceover lessons. And yeah, it's worth it because it's absolutely joyous when you plug that mic in for the first time and you record something, or you plug your guitar direct in and just play away and get a groove going. It's yeah, it's magic.
And where can people go to find out more about you, Sean?
They can look me up as Sir Blimey, so that's S-I-R, Sir Blimey, B-L-I-M-E-Y, on YouTube, Instagram, etc. And there's nothing on Spotify yet, but that will be coming, because I just want to spend my time making sure that these tracks are fully produced properly and fully mastered properly before you put them out, and I don't have to go back to it. So yeah, look me up.
Well, keep an eye on Spotify and all those streaming platforms to hear your music when it does come out. And also, if you are looking for some advice and great sort of articles and resources about recording and making music as a blind or partially sighted person, you can visit the Sound Without Sight website, which is soundwithoutsight.org. Well, thank you very much indeed, Sean, for joining me again here on R&IB Connect Radio and telling me about getting back into music and using Pro Tools on a Mac computer.
Thanks for having me on. Stay lucky.
For more interviews, features, and shows, go to your favorite podcast provider and search for R&IB Connect Radio.